our series on prayer, exploring the possibilities, which we've been going through for a few months now. And in light of the message I brought two Sundays ago, Get With God's Program, which was quite a heavy end times message, I think it's appropriate for us to talk about how we should pray for our loved ones who are far from God. And maybe just to get your engagement in this message, could I ask, if you have an immediate family member, be it husband, wife, mother, father, brother, sister, son or daughter, who, as far as you know, doesn't know Jesus as their own personal Lord and Savior. If you've got an immediate family member who's not a committed Christian, would you stand, please? Sorry? Just immediate family members for now. Those ones that I've mentioned. Okay, there's a few of us. And if you have a wider family member, or someone maybe that you work with, that you see, a friend, someone that you see on a regular basis, maybe every week, that doesn't know Jesus, would you please stand? Okay, that's virtually all of us have got someone close to us whose lives we are connected to, who as far as we know, doesn't know Jesus. Okay, you can be seated. Thank you. And we still believe that antiquated thought that everybody will go to somewhere for eternity. Everybody has an eternal destiny, and that's either heaven or hell, and it's all dependent on their relationship with Jesus. Sometimes we forget about that. And if you've stood, there's somebody whose life you are connected to who also has an eternal destiny that's not looking good right now. And so I don't bring this up glibly, but to highlight the seriousness of this. Thanks, Pauline, if you can bring that up. I've got it here. Yeah. Just come and pop that here. Thank you. So, I'm sure you, like me, desperately want your loved ones who don't know Jesus to come into a life-saving and changing relationship with Him. And if you've ever tried sharing the good news of Jesus with somebody, you'll know that it's not easy. That there's often a resistance to it. And even if you get the opportunity to clearly explain the gospel, that sometimes people just don't get it. It's like there are these mental blocks or spiritual obstacles in the way, or a smokescreen around them, for want of a better word, that prevents them from being able to perceive the truth of the gospel. Can you relate to that? Nods of heads or shakes of heads. Yeah, it's not easy. There's sometimes the smokescreen to the gospel. And we're going to talk about that today and how to pray to clear that smokescreen and get the gospel across. Now, by way of illustration, I don't know if there's ever been something that you've loved that you wanted to share with somebody who just hasn't been open to it. Have you had that? My wife, Stacy, is a big sushi fan. I think her favorite food, if you offered her various plates of anything, the one that would trump it for her is sushi. But a few years back, we had never had sushi. And her sister introduced us to sushi. Now, for me, the concept of eating raw fish was repulsive. So I was pretty resistant. But with a bit of persuasion and encouragement, we gave sushi a try. And now we love sushi. So let me ask, who here, by show of hands, likes biltong? It's appropriate, being the Rugby World Cup and a Springbok fan. Most of us enjoy biltong. Okay, hands down. Who here likes chocolate? Kim raises two hands. Great. Okay, hands down. Who here likes the combination of chocolate and biltong? Not as many hands. Okay, if your hand is up, you're disqualified for this demonstration. So for those of you who like chocolate and biltong, but if you've never tried the combination of chocolate and biltong, you qualify for this demonstration. I have here some chocolate and some biltong. And I was a bit suspicious of this combination as well. And until we went on the meander up to Nottingham Road, where they've got a chocolate dipping place, and you dip all sorts of things in chocolate. And biltong was one of them. And I gave it a try. And I thought, savory and sweet together, really? But let's give it a go. I'm normally game for something new. And it was divine. It's like the best thing ever. So I'd like to invite anyone who is a little bit suspicious, who hasn't had chocolate biltong together before, to come up and give it a try. Come, James. Get the ball rolling. There's nothing wrong with it, I promise you. It's all good. You're going to get sticky fingers. You just have to let us know what you think of it afterwards. Come, Tom. The youngsters are brave, yeah. James says it is actually quite nice. Tom, what do you think? It's good, okay. Not as bad as it sounds. Steph, good. Anyone else want to give it a go? Gus is up for it. Let's bring some to Gus. Service with a smile.
I'm very grateful for the smile.
Well, you're going to give it a try? Have you ever had it before? Okay. Gus says, not bad, oh wow. Sorry about the mess. Give it a twist. That's it. Oh, good man.
I make the biltong myself, Dad.
You make your own biltong?
Peri peri, chilies, everything, but I didn't taste it.
Okay, give it a try. Rob, what did you think? Works, hey? Okay, well, there's some left for those after the service who want to give it a try. Okay, so we had some skeptics beforehand who they've all said it's really good. And you know what? That's what it can be like sharing the gospel with something. There's a thing that we know is divine, that it is awesome, that it is the best thing for them. And yet sometimes people are a bit resistant. And if you could just get them to taste and see the goodness of God in their own lives, it would change it for them. But there is this smokescreen. And so the title of this morning's message is Smokescreens and Light Beams. Praying for your loved ones strategically. Now, early in the series, I spoke about the paradox of prayer. Prayer is paradoxical, it's contradictory. There are things that just don't make sense in prayer. And praying for unsaved people to be saved is one of them. The reason I say that is because you're praying for God to save somebody that He already wants to be saved. The Bible tells us, 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. We're not going forwards yet. God doesn't want anyone to be destroyed. He wants everybody to come to repentance and salvation in Christ. The famous John 3:16, for God so loved certain people, no, He loved the world, that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loves everyone. He wants everyone to repent and to put their faith in Jesus and to be saved and to live for eternity in heaven with Him. So doesn't it seem a bit strange for us to be praying, God, please save this person and please save that person? Well, He already wants him to be saved. Have you ever prayed those kind of prayers? Have you ever wondered, how does this work? The reason that this doesn't just work is because God has given each person the gift of free will. He He wants us to choose for ourselves whether we want to be in relationship with Him or not. And He's not going to impose Himself and break that free will that He's given us. So does that mean we don't pray? No. It means we need to pray strategically. And that's what we're going to have a look at this morning. I'm going to show you three passages of Scripture that I think give us an effective strategy for praying for our loved ones who are far from God to come to faith in Jesus. The first one tells us the problem and how this works. And this is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, which says, "If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God." So some people have got this veil, the spiritual veil over their minds, that they just cannot perceive and understand the truth and the light of the good news of Jesus. And it doesn't matter how well you explain it to them. There's a spiritual smokescreen around their minds, which the Bible calls a veil. The veil is not that the gospel is veiled. God has not veiled it. It's not veiled by our ineptitude in being able to explain it. The veil is put there by Satan. He doesn't want people to know Jesus. He wants to take as many people down with him as he can. And so he meddles in people's minds to put this spiritual veil. He blinds their minds so that they just cannot perceive the gospel. They cannot see the light of the good news. They cannot understand the message of Jesus. So that's the situation. That's the problem we face. It's a problem caused by Satan, and it's in the minds of the people we love that we want to come to Jesus. So that gives us the clue how to pray into this thing. Now the Greek word, which is translated here as minds, is noema. Noema is to do with the mind. And we find the same Greek word in our second passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, where we see now what we can do about it. Paul says here, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons. So we're not talking about guns and grenades and artillery. We're talking about spiritual weapons, such as prayer. We use mighty weapons from God, such as prayer, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. Excuse me. We capture their rebellious... Sorry, a bit of bull tongue in my throat. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Do you see where all these things that are going on are that we are praying against? Reasoning, arguments, proud obstacles, knowing God, rebellious thoughts. These are all things in the mind, and we find that same Greek word, noema, in this passage for thoughts. So the blinding veil that Satan puts across people's minds, the noema, Paul says here, we can pray and knock these strongholds down in people's minds. Doesn't that switch on a light for you? We can pray into people's minds against the work of Satan for God to remove veils and do something in people's minds that removes these obstacles that they can then perceive the good news of Jesus. And then our third and final passage is from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 to 18. And Paul again is praying for people to know God. And he says, I pray that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called. Paul's writing here to believers in the church in Ephesus, but he's writing and praying that they would know God more. And I think we can pray the same thing for people who don't know God, that they would grow in their knowledge of God. And what does he pray? That God would flood their hearts with light. The Greek word here for light is photizo. Photizo, from which we get words like photo, photosynthesis, photon. All those light words come from this word, photizo. And in our first passage we looked at, it said that they are unable to see the glorious light of the good news, the photizo of the good news, because of the veil. And so as we pray for God to remove veils from people's minds, he's able to shine and flood their hearts and minds with this photizo light. Does this make sense? Does this give you a strategy of something that you can start to pray into in the lives of the people that you care about and want to find Jesus? I found this so helpful when I came across these passages. And so it gives us four steps. This is not a comprehensive strategy. There are other things that you can pray into as well. But just from these passages, four steps of how you can pray for your loved ones who don't know Jesus to be saved. Step one, pray for discernment of the mindsets of the person. So you need to know what's going on in their mind. You need to know what the veil is in their mind to be able to pray effectively. Pray and ask God to reveal to you what their mindset is. Secondly, pray against the blinding veil of Satan in their lives. If Satan is working in their minds, putting this veil, blinding them, we can pray against them. We can pray against his work in their lives. Thirdly, pray to remove the arguments and obstacles from their minds. Paul said we can pray to knock down these strongholds. So start to pray into their minds as God shows you things that's going on in that person's mind. Start to pray against those things. Pray the opposite of those things. If there's an obstacle of pride, pray for God to give them humility. If there's an obstacle of fear, pray for God to give them trust. If they've been hurt by Christians in the past, pray for God to restore that and to bring really good, sincere Christians into their lives. And then you can pray to remove the arguments and obstacles from their minds. As God shows you these things, pray them down, pull them down. And lastly, pray for God to flood their hearts with light. As the veil's removed, as the smoke screen is cleared, pray that God would flood their hearts and minds with the light of the gospel, because then they'll be in a place to perceive it. And pray that he would work in their life circumstances. Pray that he would bring the right people across their paths. That he would work in little things to draw them to him. Now I want to share a personal story of how I've gone through this recently, praying for my sister who didn't know Jesus. And I've really prayed through these things for her. I shared at the beginning of the year how in our trip to New Zealand, how I had the opportunity to engage with my sister Kate about Jesus. And there was resistance. There were obstacles. There was a veil across her mind. But I had the chance to just discuss through some of these things with her and got a better idea what her obstacles and arguments were, and prayed into those things. She invited me to lead her and her husband through a service, a ceremony of renewing their marriage vows. They had done so before only legally here with no spiritual service. And she said she wanted to do that before God. And so I was able to lead them through renewing their vows before God. And God was at work in her heart and mind. But even as we discussed these things, there was still a veil. There was still resistance. And as I discerned what the issues were, I challenged her to just read a book. I knew that I wasn't going to persuade her to Jesus by arguing with her in each point of argument. But I thought there's this book that would speak into her life. And so I picked up, let me backtrack a bit, I picked up her mindset had been influenced by the New Age movement, Eastern religions, moral relativism, and philosophical thinking. That's what was going on in her mind. The blinding veil Satan had put across her mind was her concern for her unbelieving husband and our agnostic father, both truly good men, but who don't know Jesus. And so for her, how could she put her faith in Jesus if these two men that she loves and respects don't know him? That resulted in the argument and obstacle of hell. How can God send good people to hell? That was a major issue for her. There was the issue of suffering. How can a good, almighty, all-powerful, loving God allow people to suffer so much on earth? I know she picked up some holes, so-called holes in the Bible, things that just didn't make sense to her. And then there was the concern of hypocritical Christians. And so I discussed some of these things with her, but I prayed into them as well. And then the last thing was the light. And having some idea of her mindset, I thought the book that would really help her work through these things was Jesus Among Other Gods by Ravi Zacharias, who just comes across in such a sensitive, respectful way. And rather than dealing with each argument, I thought if she can just look at Jesus, the life of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, and compare Jesus to any other God or worldview, that might just get her to see the light. And it did. And so I was delighted as we've been in this journey of communicating through this year, helping her grow in her relationship with Jesus. I was so pleased earlier this week to see her put this post on Facebook. She said, "I have been a sinner much of my life. I've also been a Christian for various chapters and backslid again and again. I've been into New Age philosophy, astrology, studied psychology and Buddhism, and have read nearly every self-help book under the sun. But thanks to my brother and pastor Paul Hemming, I have committed my life going forward to Christ." Praise God for that. And as I read and share that, I just want to break down in tears of joy, but I'm holding it back. This has been the best news for me in ages. My sister has come to faith in Jesus. God is still at work in her life and her family's life. She's started going to church there. She started taking her children through Youth Alpha. And he's at work in the rest of my family's life. My father last week had a terrible toothache, and he had to go and have two teeth removed. And I know he was suffering with terrible agony from that, even after the teeth were removed. And so we were all sending messages of concern and care and support. And then I said, "I'm going to pray for you, Dad." And I had terrible dental pain a year or so back. It was so bad, I'm a little bit ashamed to admit this, I was taking 7 or 8 Adcodols a day for 2 or 3 days at the heart of this pain just to bear it. It was that bad. And so I could empathize with my father And so I said to my unbelieving dad, I'm gonna pray for you. This is all in our family WhatsApp group. And my sister said, I'm also praying for you. And the next morning he said, he was, I think, having a little bit of a job, because he said, Paul, can you do miracles? I said, no, I can't do miracles, but I know someone who can and does. And I said, I'll pray for you. The next day, he said he had a pain-free night, and he's been pain-free since then. And he messaged, thank you, Paul and friends. I Skyped him a couple days ago, and he said, thank you for praying for me, because it was from then that the pain went. And he said, I need to go on my knees before God because of this. God is at work, friends. And it's because of praying strategically into their lives, into their minds, loving them, finding opportunities to share Jesus with them sensitively, that smokescreen can be pulled down and God can shine his light into their lives. So I tried to keep this a little bit shorter than normal, because I want to ask you now to get into groups of three or four. And I've just got a couple of points to go up on the screen for you to discuss. Maybe choose one person that you would really like to see come to Jesus. And in your group, discuss these things. Their mindset. What do you think is going on in their mind? What are their obstacles to Jesus? And just go around in your group and discuss that for a minute or two for each person. And then take a few minutes in your little group to pray for those people. To pull down the strongholds, to clear the smoke screens, and for Jesus to shine his light into their lives, to draw them to him. Okay, so I'd like you now to make little groups, three or four, and do that for about, it's going to be 10 minutes total. And then I'll call us back together to end the service.